the Cat Attack Podcast. KERS Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the KERS Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Very formal beginning to this week's podcast. I've come into the K-Rock Studios to sit alongside Tom King for this KERS Hire edition. And Kingy, fair to say that I've timed my run to perfection, haven't I?
So Cancer Council, biggest morning tea we've had here at K-Rock this morning.
And I've just hoovered in Rocky Road and yo-yos.
Because we actually had one of our staff members, and she's happy for me to share this because I've spoken about on the AFLW podcast with Michaela Bowen last year. So Beck McDonald from our newsroom had a battle with breast cancer last year, which she's on top of, back at work, which is fantastic. And so in support of her, we brought in some food.
When I come into the studios, I come through the door and I turn left, and then I have to turn right to get down to Tom's office. But that takes me via the kitchen. And the kitchen island bench there was a sea of stuff that all probably get you a little bit rotund, King. And anyway, I walked in, so I'll have to walk it off on the way home. But anyway, talk about walking it off on the way home. The Cats did that on Saturday, was it? Saturday, Friday. What day was it?
They played last Thursday.
Thursday, King. I can't remember, so long ago. It's a week ago.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Look, it was a very, very good effort. I'm not breaking any news there. I mean, it's easy to say after the game, but, you know, if you looked at it, you sort of thought Brisbane, they're one short, and they've got away with it, but they're one short in defence.
Yep.
They don't have a second tall defender. They're trying to play Gardner and Leicester as tall defenders. And they're short up forward now with no Oscar Allen.
Mm.
So, I mean.
And no Hipwood.
No Hipwood. Zorko came out, which helped. But so you sort of thought, I mean, in hindsight, you say, look, you thought Geelong were a chance. I thought Geelong were a chance. No way did I think they would be leading by the best part of, 9 goals at one stage.
Correct.
But they played well. We've said that, Geelong, when they have from top to bottom contributing something, they're extraordinarily hard to beat. And you look back too and you think that Port Adelaide game, and we love to make, bold predictions off one poor game. Geelong was so bad in that game. I was talking to someone during the week. Actually, I was talking to four-time leading goal kicker.
Ken Kingsley.
So his son, Boston, I think, is LeBron. I think he's pretty good.
With basketball. Yeah. Correct.
Anyway, I took Junior along, and she's sort of more Sharon Strzelecki sort of style. Anyway, in the F grade.
Netball.
It's terrific basketball.
But Sharon Strzelecki played netball.
She did too, but Al is more. She's not going to be troubling the.
She won't be in the Opal.
When you talk to a parent about the kid, they go, "Look, just enjoys the game." That's code for they're absolutely shit. Anyway, she plays.
They try their best.
They do. She's hopeless, but she plays.
Anyway,
it's better than being on the iPad.
And also, where's the biggest drop off in sport? Teenage girls.
Yeah.
So good on.
That's because they're all on that. Like, she's constantly talking to somebody else about absolute mindless drivel. It's a bumble.
But you think it's mindless drivel.
But it isn't to her, but she's just. Anyway, so I saw Ken Kingsley and I was talking to him and I said, I lost the train of thought. I was talking to him
about Port Adelaide.
The Cats. And I was saying to him that Port Adelaide was such a bad game that if that had been happening, 2-3 weeks in a row, you think, oh, there's something awry here. It was an outlier. It was an anomaly in terms of, and if you look at the scores that they've kicked, I think, was it 6 of the last 7? We mentioned it last week, 5 of the last 6 games. It's 115, 117 points plus.
Yeah.
So that game was just an outlier. It's a good reminder that not reacting to one poor performance. But look, I don't think things could have fallen any better for Geelong against Brisbane. Bar the first 15 minutes of the second quarter, where Brisbane kicked, did they keep at 5? To get the scores back to close to level, if not level. Geelong were, I thought, pretty dominant for 3 and a bit quarters. And the other thing too, Kingy, is that, we've seen it now for, 6 or 7 weeks, that bar the Port Adelaide game, which we referenced, that the forward line is functioning really well. They're scoring. There's no better pressure in footy than scoreboard pressure, and Geelong are applying that by scoring. Now, I think, we've seen a few times, and we saw it even early in the game, a couple of easy goals to Brisbane. I think Curtin kicked one where Draper might have got one as well, where Geelong were just caught and they, you know,
out the back,
marked the ball, ran into the open goal. I don't, and we had Reg Toohey doing the special comments, and I sort of asked him whether, you know, do you think the club, the coaches would mind that, given the way they play and the way footy's being played now in terms of the frenetic style, the stand rule is enabling you to move quickly, that you are every now and then going to be caught. And the way the Cats are playing, you know, okay, they've leaked two or three easy goals, and we saw a heap of them against Port Adelaide, but they've leaked two or three easy ones. But the other way, they're kicking seven or eight going the other way with the style that they're playing. So I actually don't mind the fact that every now and then you get caught. If there's a bad turnover, I don't think any team's going to have the defensive mechanisms to stop an easy goal. And the Cats are playing aggressive footy. They're playing positive footy.
Yep. Very watchable.
It is.
It's just what Sydney's playing as well.
Yeah, that'll be a really good test on Saturday night. But and you know, we've got players who, you know, Manor, obviously, you wanted him to be dropped and sacked and left out of the...
I did not.
You did. You 4 weeks ago, you said we should drop Sean Manor.
No, I did not.
He should never
say
play
that
again. No. And he should come up to St. Joey's and play. You
no
said that.
You'd be happy to have him.
Yes,
Joey's.
We would, actually. Very happy. But, no, look, he's been fantastic. Ollie Henry's playing good footy, contributing.
You talked about the evenness just on the Geelong setup from last week. So Jack Henry had the least amount of disposals, but he was playing a negative role to keep Harris Andrews interested.
Which was interesting, King. I thought that was a...
It was a good coaching ploy.
It was. The thing is, I mentioned this to Reg after the game on air, I think, that, you know, you've sort of played your... You've played a wild card in round 11 or 10, whatever it was.
Yep.
You know, you've played your... Could the Cats go with that again? I suppose they could, and they'd be stupid not to.
Yep.
Albeit, in last year's qualifying final, Mullen tagged McCluggage out of the game
and didn't tag him
in the grand final. So you're scratching various parts of your body, King, with that one, aren't
probably
you?
Probably the cranium.
Well, I don't know. It depends what sort of blows your hair back.
Seven disposals for Jack Martin, but he only played 48% game time.
Do you think
time
he comes out?
I think he might be managed this week.
Well, he didn't play for a majority of the last quarter. No. They said he was a bit sore.
Last 40 minutes.
Yeah. I'd be staggered if he's not having a rest. Who's coming in?
Well, so who got managed last week? Collar Jasny got managed.
Warple.
And Warple got managed. Yep. And they had Stanley and Bose running around in the VFL. Bose has had 40 in kick two in the VFL. Although
against Brisbane, who were horrific.
Horrific in the VFL.
Yep.
Yeah, they're not going great. They went in with very minimal AFL-listed
play. AFL-listed, yeah.
So
do you think if you're taking Jack Martin out, do you necessarily need to replace him with a forward?
No, you don't.
Would you think that against Sydney that somebody perhaps like a Warple?
I think Warple needs to come back in.
Do you think Collar Jasny gets back in?
Well, who comes out? It's only coming down to whether they're Bailey Smith, there's been discussion about whether his shoulder's a little bit banged up.
Well, but the coach said that was absolute...
Yes, folly.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Do you can't believe that, though?
No. No, huh? No, I'll believe the Geelong team when it runs out onto the ground at about 4:05 on... Pardon me. I don't know where that's coming from.
What's going on there?
No, a little bit of drilling.
Is that thing coming through the Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway.
Have you ever been there, King?
No.
How straight is Hormuz?
I'm not sure.
Is it actually straight?
No, I don't know. Or is it a bit bent?
Is it a bit of an old banana sort of arrangement?
Boom, boom.
Nice one, boom.
Yes. Anyway.
Have you ever been to the Straits of Hormuz?
No.
Had you ever heard of them before the America invaded them?
No.
Invaded the old Iranians?
No, I didn't realise how important it was to...
Did you realise that you were going to have to go back into your wallet three or four more times because an area called Hormuz is not operational?
Yes, no. That wasn't on my bingo card for 2026.
No. I just like saying it.
Hormuz.
It's got a nice ring to it.
It does. It sounds good. It rolls off the tongue well.
I wonder what it means.
No.
Hormuz.
Not sure. It's a location, Ben. Could mean anything.
It is.
But no, the Cats were good. The Swans have been outstanding for...
They have. Oh, yeah, they've been very good.
Yeah.
Very good. The last 2 weeks... I'll make a prediction.
Go on.
Do you want me to make a prediction?
Go on.
That the Straits of Hormuz won't be open soon.
Okay.
They're like 7-11, the Straits of Hormuz, they reckon now. My prediction is the Cats win on Saturday night. Now, I know that is not exactly going to be on the nightly news.
Yeah.
I think I've watched a majority of Sydney's last two games. They were lucky. Maybe lucky is not the right word. They were they had to pull out all stops to beat North.
Yep.
And North had their opportunities. There was one decision in that game that went against North that was perhaps critical in the wash-up of the game. They won by 7 points, I think 7 or 8 points.
I only just got past Collingwood in the end.
They were 6 goals down against Collingwood, and Steen went down. Once Steen went down, Grundy just completely took over in the ruck. Now, if you argue that Steen had remained on the ground, I know he's a young ruckman, but he would have been able to at least sort of nullify Grundy to a degree.
Yep.
Would Collingwood have hung on and won?
Potentially.
I think you could argue a case. I don't know how well they're going, Sydney. I know that they're winning. Are they beatable? Yes. Are Geelong playing well? Yes. Are Geelong very hard to beat at home? Yes. Do they not have Rampy? Yes. Do they not have Goulden? Yes. Do they not have Braden Campbell? Yes. They don't have any of those three players.
No.
Are they a little bit vulnerable down back? Possibly. They've got Melican and McCartan.
I'll tell you one bloke they're missing down back. Is Matt Roberts.
Yes.
He's a very good user of the footy.
Yes.
Reads it really well.
And Goulden's obviously a huge loss. He's their playmaker.
Yeah. One less bloke for
John to
worry
about.
And
up forward, they've got McDonald and Amati
as
key forwards. Now, yeah, they're handy. Amati, 1.2 million.
You got Curno as well.
Curno, is he going well?
Nah.
Not really. I mean, he'd probably turn it on against Cats now. I've probably mozzed him, but I've gone the reverse moz. That's why I wonder whether Collie Jasny comes back in. They do have three taller options.
Yep.
Henry obviously goes back into defence. He won't be playing that role that he played last
week. No, he doesn't need to go on.
So he'll. So our matchups then, are you thinking De Koning goes to Amati?
Yep.
I'm thinking...
Does Jack Henry go to...
Jack Henry perhaps goes to Curno?
Yep.
Athletic sort of player, Jack Henry? The Liz? He's our Liz? They call him the Liz, you know that?
Yeah.
The Liz.
O'Sullivan goes to...
Have you ever
to...
been called a Liz?
No. O'Sullivan goes to?
Not even by Vicky.
O'Sullivan to McLean?
McLean?
Sorry, not McLean.
He won't be playing.
McDonald.
McDonald. Yes, possibly. McDonald likes to come up the ground a little bit. He's playing away from goal.
Does De Koning go to McDonald?
Well, you've got options. You've got options there. I mean, I think Collard Jasny could go to McDonald.
If he's playing.
Yep. If he's playing, yeah, correct. That's why I'm thinking if he does come in, there are some matchups for him there. Whereas Brisbane was probably thin.
Who goes to Papley?
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I mean...
Could a Collard Jasny come in and go to Papley, or are you a little bit too quick?
I think he's a bit nippy,
yeah,
maybe. A little bit nippy. You ever been nippy?
No.
Why don't you just answer me truthfully instead of just saying no all the time? So... Guthrie?
To Papley?
Maybe. I mean, Mullen is probably the obvious one, but is he dangerous enough, Papley, to put
Mullen
in?
No, you don't want to be wasting Mullen there.
Who are you putting Mullen on then? Heaney?
Heaney? Or...
I don't think Heaney's a good matchup for Mullen. But
or a Rowbottom?
Are you going to tag Rowbottom? He's their tagger. Are you going to just go the old double sort of tag on the tag?
Potentially.
What would that be called?
Mullen's starting to win his own footy.
Do you think there'd be a footy name for that if you tag the tagger?
Mullen's starting to win his own footy, though.
Yeah, he is. But he's still, I think his reference point has to be another player.
Does it?
You're just going to say free reign O'Shea Mullen. Do your best impersonation of Maurice Rioli.
Yep.
No.
At some stage, he will get to that point where he can go and win.
Maybe. I don't think it's this week. I think, would you go him on Warner?
Yeah.
Heaney's the obvious one. I just wonder, Heaney's such... The majority of players that Mullen has played on and done well on are ground-level players. They're not overhead players.
Whereas Heaney will stand on your head as soon as look at you.
He can. He's dangerous and he's very good overhead. I'd imagine that if that was the ploy that you did send Mullen to Heaney, then suddenly Heaney would find himself inside forward 50 and they'd be clearing it out for him.
Not.
Which is not what you want for Mullen. So... it's an interesting one. I don't know. It's Warner, Heaney. Yeah, they're the two. Yeah, I don't know if he's... maybe Warner, I suppose, he's better equipped.
Are you bringing Stanley back to play on Grundy? Or are you backing in?
No, I'm backing in Big Junk.
Yep. It's junk time.
Grundy's in fine form. God, he's
easy. All
it's 34 possessions against Collingwood.
He's the All-Australian ruck, isn't he, right now?
Oh, yeah. He gets involved in the game in terms of possessions. He can link up. He can take a mark. He can go forward. He can kick you a goal from, I think we saw him last week, he kicked their first goal and they desperately needed it from a throw-in. He's got every base covered Big Grundy. It's a really big night if they do put... Who do you think would be better equipped? Do you want to nullify Grundy around the ground, or do you want to nullify his influence in the ruck?
Around the ground?
Well, maybe that's...
That's Stanley.
That's Stanley.
Hmm. And yeah. Geelong have said that they are happy to go, at the moment, horses for courses in terms of matchups and, you know, Stanley's...
They don't, once Grundy's off, they don't have any secondary ruckmen.
No.
They've got donuts. They're correct. Putting like McDonald in the ruck.
Correct.
But, yeah, you're right. Grundy's the sort of player could take the game over. I don't know. That's a conundrum, Tom.
And the other thing you got to stop is Nick Blakey.
The Liz running off halfback.
So, do you know how many he had last week?
The Liz had a heap of it.
39.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
902 metres gained.
What would you do there then, Kingy? Because you can't have that.
No.
Would you look to play somebody...
Is Jack Henry athletic enough to go back to Nick Blakey?
I'd say yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want him chasing him down the wing, but...
But putting a body on him,
yeah,
to make sure
he's just a different player than Andrews.
Because he does, he likes though the give get back.
Yeah, he does.
You need somebody who once he's given,
yep,
that you're taking body.
But that's a team thing.
Yeah, but that's got. But maybe that's somebody who is just your role. Or the other one is, here's one for you, Mark O'Connor.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Who has got some when they get. Pumping those legs, you can actually move a bit.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think I just wonder whether Geelong will worry about, you know, a tag. I mean, it was a clear plan with Henry on Andrews, but Andrews is a very different player to the Liz.
Yeah.
He's the ball coming in.
Well, it's
you sort of know exactly what he's going to be doing.
He's in the Blake, intercept stuff. Yeah.
Blakey is more unpredictable in that he can mark it, but then he marks and he runs and then he plays on. And then, as you see, he gets the 1-2 and he kicks at 50, he can run 15. I just wonder whether the Cats will, at some point, King, you've got to back your own team in.
You do.
You know, you can't tag everyone. Now, we're thinking Mullen, you know, where does he go? There's no obvious matchup for Mullen. You know, do we... I know the Henry thing worked on Andrews. Is it going to work on Blakey? I'd question it. And I don't know whether you'd want Jack Henry having to play up the ground more.
Mm.
I mean, Blakey plays more up the ground. Do you want... I don't know if you want Jack Henry playing more around the middle and on the wing.
And the other thing is, too, Sydney are going to have to look at Geelong's midfield and go, hang on, what are we limiting here? So are we trying to limit Smith?
Yeah.
Are we trying to stop the run of Holmes off half back? They're going to ask some questions as well of what they're going to structure as well.
I just wonder whether Geelong backed themselves in this week and think, okay, we'll pay attention to these guys, but we're not going to pay them attention to the point where we're going with a hard tag. And if they do that in the midfield, would that allow Mullen then to go to Papley?
Potentially.
And then, I mean, Papley... For all his offensive stuff, he's great. I'm not sure his defensive stuff is tremendous.
Does that allow Mullen then to maybe...
To run off.
Yep.
Off half-back.
Hmm.
And be involved more as like a Max Holmes type through the middle run and kick. Possibly. It's a big game. I think Sydney are ripe to be beaten.
Hmm.
That would be my take, having watched them the last 2 weeks. They've fallen over the line in, you know... I mean, look, and good teams will find a way, and then they'll also find a way to lift for a big game. So I'm not saying that... You know, I think it's a foregone conclusion, but I think they're ripe to be beaten. And I hear, did you go, were you at the press conference of the coach, King?
Yep.
What did you make of it?
Are you talking about the stuff at the start?
Well, he looked as uncomfortable as I've seen him for a long time.
Yep.
He was asked, obviously, about the former sponsor of the club.
Yes.
Yang.
Yep.
Who's in trouble with the old law.
Well, yeah, he's been accused.
Yeah. Alleged fraud.
Yep.
And he's been around the club for a long time,
yep.
Yang. Even to the point where when I was doing the boundary back in Bomber Thompson's heyday.
You'd be down in the rooms?
Well, Yang was doing everything bar singing the song.
Yep.
He was standing next to Bomber, next to Neil Baum. He was in the mix.
Yep.
And you talk to some of the players, and if you wanted anything, whether it a trip, whether it anything you wanted, your man was Yang. He was like the fixer. To the point where, have I told you this story? I think I've told you this story, haven't I? About the jumper. So my, I had an interaction with Yang.
Yeah, you had to get a certain signature on one of the jumpers.
Yeah, I did.
So when we auctioned a jumper for Bluey McGrath.
Yeah, when Bluey got cancer.
Yep. And we auctioned a special where we got all three jumpers signed.
Oh, I got all three
jumpers. You got the three jumpers signed for 7, 9, 11.
Yeah, and which was missing, a mission.
And you're missing one signature.
Yes, who was it?
Nathan Ablett.
Nathan Ablett, no 7. I could not track down Nathan Ablett, no 7. And I asked a player, I said, you got any idea how I might be able to do this? And he said, I have. He said, stand by. So he said, I'll get Yang onto it. So he, and then he rang, the player rang me and said, I'll give you Yang's number. You ring him and he'll organise to get Nathan Ablett's signature. So I rang Yang and said, you know, it's Benny Boogaloo from K-Rock. I said, look, I'm trying to get this jumper signed. And I said, look, the player, yada yada, give me your number. We've got everyone's signature, what it was for, all that. He said, okay, he just said stand by, basically. So 2 weeks goes by, no Yang, nothing, donuts. I text the player to say, is this likely to happen, do you reckon, or is Yang just sort of, does he talk a lot of shit? He said, no, he'll don't worry about it, he'll get it done. So one night, 3 past 9 it was, 3 past 9, I was in my Hugh Hefner silk arrangements,
right.
And I was just about to do something extraordinary, Kingy, and Yang's on the blower at 3 past 9 on a Thursday night. He goes, can you come down? He gave me an address in Newtown, which was opposite the club, and he said, can you come down here and I'll get this, bring the jumper down and I'll get it signed. I think this is like sort of Cover of Darkness, sort of Cover of Darkness style. So I pull up at the address and he said, don't come in. You ring me when you're at the front, and I'll come and get you. So I'm at the front. I'm thinking, this is like, I'm wondering whether some SWAT team's going to jump out of a bush and get in the key out with me. But so I'm at the front and I ring and I said, I'm here. And I waited for about 8 minutes. Nothing happened. Thinking, I'm starting to get real sus here. Anyway, next thing you know, Yang comes out, takes me side of the house, through a sliding door, sitting there at the kitchen table is Nathan Ablett. He didn't say anything to me. If I had known about the pumpkin story, I would have been hard to ask him. I would have been there for hours. I said, he signed it, didn't say a thing, gave me the jumper. Yang whizzed me out the side door, said, but piss off. That was it. There was no...
Yep.
Anyway, it was one of the most bizarre things that had happened to me.
But you got the signed jumper.
I got the signed jumper. And then, what's his name, paid, I think he paid about $8,000 for it. Had the...
Town and Country.
Yes.
Frank Rossi?
Yeah, Big Frank. Yeah. He paid $8,000 for it. Well, imagine what it'd be worth now. It'd be worth more than that.
Yep.
He's got a good buy there, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Bomber. Chris Scott was looking... he was trying to distance himself from any Yang.
Yeah.
So what is the alleged that they went, he, Mackie and Yang went to Sydney?
Yeah,
in 23.
That the rooms were paid for by Yang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or there was an upgrade paid for by Yang, yeah.
But was he with them?
No, Chris Scott said no.
No. Right.
No.
He just sorted out an upgrade.
They were up there to meet with a player manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
From TPG or whatever he was. Is it TIG?
No, TGI.
TGI, yeah. Come one on. Of those, TGI.
TPG, isn't that a mobile phone?
Yeah, I don't think it means anything for a mobile phone.
Look, I don't know where that all lands, Ben. That's all being reported by people who have got much more deeper connections to that
stuff. It's amazing how infiltrated he was in the club, though.
Mm.
Have we got plenty of questions,
Kim? Yes, we do.
Do you know if the Cats go 8-3 this week?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, they've never, since 2015, they've...
haven't been 8-3.
No, they've been 8-3, but that's as good as they've ever been.
Yeah, right.
So the years that are 8-3, so 15, 6 and 5,
yep.
Missed finals. 16, 8-3, prelim. 17, 8-3, prelim. 18, 7 and 4, elimination final.
Yep.
19, they were 10 and 1, prelim. 20, 8-3, grand final. 21, 8-3, prelim.
Yep.
22.
I can tell you what they were in 22. They were 7-4.
No, they're 8-3.
Weren't they 5-4 when they got beaten by St Kilda?
Maybe you might be right. 22,
so
7-4, grand final.
Yep.
23, 5-6, missed finals. 24, 7-4, prelim, and last year they were 7-4.
Right.
So this week they're shooting to be 8-3, which would be a bloody good start.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, to be 8-3, Carlton next week, who you You know, nothing's a given.
The thing is, they will drop a game you don't expect them to.
But we said that in 22 as well.
True. I think it's more brutal competition this year. I think they were a cut above in 22. Yeah. I don't think they are this year. Yep. I mean, it's ended up being a cut above. They weren't to start the year. Yep. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. But anyway, look, it's amazing that that record, that this is pretty much on trajectory with what they've been in the years when they've been really successful. Then it's not like they're, you know, 9-1. What is
9-1.
Sydney 9-1. Yep. And Dockers are 9-1.
9-1, yeah. Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, great call once again. Good to sync K-Rock with the TV. Just a good team performance. Got the match-up spot on. How good would Stuart Ghost to think what he if he yeah. had played in the GF last year? Do you think the handball game will work against Sydney this weekend?
Yeah, well, Sydney are the number one handball team in the competition. Perhaps they were... What were the handballs last week, Kingy, in the game against Brisbane? I think Sydney, maybe Sydney were ahead of the curve with that in terms of the game style with the forward handball being the you know, the kryptonite and being the way forward in terms of quick ball movement and scoring. I'd like to know what the Cats' numbers were last week in terms of those handballs, whether it was 3 weeks in a row.
It was a 223 to 181.
So that's pretty high.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yeah. So that's 3 weeks in a no in a no.
And the Swans in a row. And the Swans were 233 kicks, 168 handballs. So 10 more kicks, but 13 less handballs.
Yeah. So it's 3 weeks in a row now. Do you think you could classify that as a pattern?
Yep.
So this will be huge because I don't know if you've got the numbers there in terms of handballs for the league, but I'm pretty sure a fortnight ago Sydney were ranked one and the Cats were down at 11, but they were coming up. They were shooting up the rankings. They had been lower than that prior to the games, the previous two games.
Sydney number one, 1,815 handballs. So they're averaging 180 handballs a game.
And what have the Cats come up to?
Cats are averaging 156.
And what's
that's come up in recent
what's
weeks.
That rank them?
That ranks the Cats 11th.
11th. So 156, and that average is lower than what they've had in the last 3 weeks.
Correct.
Yeah, so there's been, yeah, you could perhaps point to a, you know, a clear direction to handball more. Well, how will this go, fighting fire with fire on Saturday with handball to handball? So I think it'd be going to be a great matchup. Just to see whether the Cats continue that style or whether they think something else can beat Sydney.
Forecast is good too.
Yeah.
The weather should be all right.
Yeah, I think Sunday maybe starts to go a little bit pear-shaped. Yeah.
Medicus, plenty of dangerous players running around for the Swans. Who does Oshin go to this week? Do you think Merrick will also play a tagging role or will two tags upset the balance?
Yeah, well, we talked about that, so we don't really know. It's not like they've got Dacos, they've got Rankin, they've got McCluggage or Neil. They've got players who are a bit more difficult to tag. Slightly, Warner isn't a Dacos. Heaney is a real hybrid midfield forward who can mark the ball. I don't think you're tagging Rowbottom. He's more of a foot soldier. Goulden would be the obvious one if you were playing Sydney, but he's not playing. So, I don't know. I think you're right. Maybe you might be right, King. Maybe they might put all their eggs into the basket of stopping Blakey. Mm. Now, how you do that and who you do that with, yeah, you might be right. O'Connor might be a good one for it.
If Martin comes out of the side. And
yeah, Martin out. O'Connor plays that role up forward. Yeah, that might be interesting to see for Wombat Gully.
Mick Howley, could Reece Stanley and Junk Edwards be more of a different? Reece looking like the most beautiful man in the cosmos with his fantastic...
It's a bouffant, isn't it?
Yep, and fantastic salad. Junk going with the bowl haircut.
Yeah, Junk, he's keeps it simple, Junk.
Yep, he's going to be... I think he's going to be a very, very good player for a very long time.
Junk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've warmed to the Junk.
It's Junk time.
Yeah, you're right. I think there's a good career ahead. Mm. Is he? He's Western Australian, isn't he?
He is.
And what is his contract status, Tom?
I think he has got one more to go. Let me just clarify, please. Hold caller.
There's a lot to like. We've spoken about him on the Kerr's Hire before.
Yes, one more to go.
Yeah.
27.
Geelong would be looking to wrap him up.
Or would have thought. Dr. Venkman, big scalp last week. Cats flying like Neville Bartos. Do they have enough left in the tank for Sydney? Swans had a decent shootout last week. Where do you rate the Holmes-Baz-Lenker combo every week looking more like Torval and Dean? Well, those who don't know, Torval and Dean are one of the 84
English ice skaters.
Yep, 84 gold medal in Sarajevo.
They did. They sort of were the beautiful couple, weren't they? They were actually a couple.
I think they were for a time, yeah.
I don't think they are now.
No.
No. They were ice skaters, yeah. They sort of brought ice skating to the headlines, actually. They were. She was quite... she was easy on the old optic nerve. So we're just talking about that. Holmes and Smith right now.
Yeah.
Can you think of a better midfield duo right now? That are in form?
Nah. No, well, the thing is, though, Holmes is playing a little bit off halfback as
well.
Yeah,
but let's just say that's his role as a midfielder. But I can't.
No, it's probably... No.
I mean... Would you say Warner and Heaney?
Dawson and Rankin's going all right.
Dawson's missed a bit of footy with you know the unfortunate situation, you know, the tragedy with his brother. So,
but before that, we're going all right.
Yeah,
when Rankin got back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
Not the best.
Who was that? Who was asking that? Mick Howley?
No, Dr. Venkman.
Oh, Dr. Venkman. Well, I think he could state a really good case that right now they are the in-form best 1-2 punch. In the midfield in the AFL.
Rudy Groschenschlanger.
Is that actually his name?
No, I wouldn't have thought.
Groschenschlanger.
Gore Vidal famously
have
said...
Have you ever had one of them, King?
Gore Vidal famously said, every time a friend succeeds, I die a little. Makes me wonder, does Benny die a little every time the mullifier plays a blinder? Gee, no. People are cashing in receipts on you.
Well, I explained my position on this 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I know you have.
And did you not agree with me?
I did agree with you.
You agreed with me.
I did agree with
you. I'm not one of these people. I know there's people out there that, you know, they'll say something and then they barrack for that to happen, you know, to their own detriment of the team that they follow because they've simply said something. I'm actually not that person, but you haven't worked that out. I'm more than happy and I'm absolutely rapt for Oisin Mullen that he's slowly developing into a player. And full credit to the club for staying the course of his development when it would have been easy to veer off course because the performance on field wasn't to the expectation where you could keep playing him. But they fought through that, and hopefully they're fighting through now to the other side. So I am rapt. I never said that he was no good. All I said, or my point was that I just didn't think his form warranted a senior spot and he was developing. That was my point. I didn't say he didn't. He was hopeless. Couldn't play. I'll give you an example. Someone who I thought was no good, who played 100 games for the Cats. I could not understand why they picked him.
There's two.
Jordan
Murdoch.
Yeah, and the other one was James Parsons. Remember the Parsnip?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was putrid.
But good enough to play league footy.
Yes, but not up to it. Not up to it. Murdoch went to Gold Coast only for 3 years, and they could not hide him in the end. Yeah. But Mullen has tools. He just was able to learn, and he's still learning his craft at the highest level when his form perhaps didn't dictate that.
Yeah. We don't hide behind feedback, and we don't.
I love feedback.
We don't censor it because this is feedback for Ben.
More feedback after last week.
Very telling in last week's podcast when Benny's first reaction to someone not liking his jokes was it male or female? With the tone implying that if it was a female, their opinion is worthless.
No, that's rubbish.
Benny will tell me just to switch off the podcast if I don't like it, but honestly, I don't want to do that. I thoroughly enjoy the podcast when there's actually good analysis of the Cats and, yes, some humour too. I think Benny forgets there are people who listen to the podcast other than 40-plus-year-old men. Sincerely, from a 30-year-old female, yes, Benny, a female, the horror. That didn't really want to hear about Benny to Shannon Elizabeth, OnlyFans, the other week. Good on her for getting bag, though.
Right. So she's got a sense of humour. What was her name?
Catters 28.
Right. So Catters 28, that is fantastic. The only reason that the only inkling, I couldn't care whether someone was pink, purple, female, male. I live in a household with three females. So I'm au fait with their way. The only reason that made me think that the person who contacted last week, they used one word, Kingy,
prude.
That gave prude. Most males I know aren't using that word, so I just figured that perhaps she was female, and if she's female, that is fine. I'm more than happy to have feedback. Do you know what I've learnt, Kingy?
What have you
especially
learned,
in my job?
Yes.
My job now.
Oh, the racing job?
Yeah.
There's feedback.
What?
You'd get a lot of feedback.
Yeah. You aren't going to keep everybody happy.
No.
And people who who worry about that. It's just not the way of the world. You do your own thing. You be your own person. If people don't like it, that's fine. And Catters 28, that's a great email. What did you get on email?
Nah, Bigfooty.
Bigfooty. That's a great bit of correspondence. And she was able to have a laugh at the end at Shan Elizabeth getting her bag through her OnlyFans account. So, fantastic. I don't care whether you're male or female. I'm old enough now to, I don't give a toss whether you like something or dislike something. I just do my own thing and I try and, look, I can't.
I'm authentic.
I am, but I can't do serious, I'm not a serious person by nature.
No, you're far from it.
So hardline footy talk, even hardline racing talk, it gives me a bit of a headache after a while.
Yep.
Like, I enjoy it to a point. Yep. Like, I do.
This forum you enjoy.
I do, yeah. I do. Because you can have a little bit of fun in between.
And our pre-games as well.
Yeah, we have a bit of fun. But I enjoy the pre-games in asking Reg certain questions about the Cats, how they do things. Yep. You know, he knows. He knows what goes on that we only guess. And I try and ask questions that I think, you know, a footy fan would like to hear.
Yeah.
You know.
Because that's what, in effect, that's what you and I are. We're nothing more than that.
No, that's right. So I'll ask, like last week we had a good chat about, you know, who's a bit rah-rah for the Cats. This week I want to ask him about the reviews of the Cats. Are they exactly the same whether you win or lose? Mm. Is it more negative than positive in terms of looking at things? All those sorts of things that he can give us an insight to. I enjoy all that, but I can't do it for 50 minutes. There used to be a journalist who's still working. I won't give his name away. I used to hide under the desk when I was working at Inside Footy and I was at a game and he'd come up to me. My eyes used to glaze over. He was that intense.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, it was life or death. And, you know, what's happened here? And he was analysing everything within an inch of its life and just used to think, oh my God.
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow. G'day, Benny and Kingy. Great call as per usual. A few things from the win over Brisbane. First up, Tanner Bruin's game, an absolute cracker to me. Outside the usual headline grabbers, I thought he was very impactful. 6-11 metres gained, 8 inside 50s, 8 score involvements. His willingness to aggressively take on the Brisbane line to get ahead of the contest and drive the footy forward felt like a massive step up from what we've seen so far this year.
Yeah.
Where do you see this bloke's ceiling and how much more improvement's left in the tank? He's only going to get better.
Yeah, I agree.
Tanner Bruin.
Do you pick up that some fans want him out of the team?
Yes.
Well, what,
I don't know why.
Where's that come from?
Kid's had 18 months off. He's finding his feet again.
I scratch my head. Yep. Think, I can't sort of see any logic behind wanting him out of the side.
Finally, on a lighter note, with our Irish lads firing on all cylinders, what are the odds of a club building an official Irish pub inside the Selwood stand? A proper little watering hole with the black stuff flowing for the fans to celebrate our Gaelic imports. Surely we can get Hock to sign off on a stadium pint.
Split the G.
Yeah. We'll pass it on.
Yep.
We'll ask a question.
It's
41?
All about the entertainment experience, King.
Great win.
Fan.
Great win by the boys. Lions.
I can't use the internet at the Cats.
Few out, but still great to get the mental edge. VFL on top. AFL top 4. Injury list shrinking post swim style. That's very good. George Costanza. Smith out isn't ideal, but have options. Well, we don't know that Smith is not playing. The coach says he is, and we'll just wait and see the team.
Have you heard any whisper?
Well, he wore the cap to say no contact on Monday, and he left the track early on Monday. So Channel 9, I watched it, I saw it. But you do get players occasionally who are no contact early in the week. I don't know, was it a bit bizarre? Maybe, I don't know. Channel 9 was all over it in terms of, oh, Bailey Smith. The way the coach played it, he was pretty, I know like the first language of the AFL is lying, but he was pretty adamant there was no issue.
Yeah, it would be. Let's put it this way: it's going to look pretty poor on the coach if he doesn't play.
Yeah, I don't think the coach cares.
No, he doesn't. He's a lot making. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But
he's being authentic.
Well, he's not really. He's just bullshitting if he says there's nothing wrong and he doesn't play. But there's nothing authentic about lying. In fact, you're being. What's the opposite of being non-authentic? Is that the opposite of authentic?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're falsifying your behaviour.
What about there's words going around that Stengel is back?
Talk that he'll be potentially training next week. I will wait with bated breath to see whether that happens or not.
Yeah, well, my mail is King. Tyson won't be playing footy anytime soon.
Hmm.
And the next 2 months will decide whether he has played his last game for the Cats.
Okay. We'll watch that with great interest. So we've got Andrew Mackie on.
He's miles away from playing football.
Ask Andrew Mackie on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because he's on with us pre-game.
Yep.
My initial question is, Bailey Humphreys has been seen as a potential recruit. How would we get it done? He was pick six. Our first pick wouldn't be enough. Incidentally, he didn't attend one centre ball up on the weekend. If we got him, would that allow Holmes to play halfback more often?
Oh, certainly. I think he's a jet. And he's ascending. Hasn't reached his ceiling, and his ceiling's probably another 2, 3, 4 years away. Yeah, like he could be a midfielder once he's what is he, fourth year? Is he fourth
year
player?
Four or five.
I reckon it'd only be four. Just off the top of my head.
Let me just confirm.
He's a gun. Look, yeah, I mean, being successful comes with its problems, and one of the problems is the trade scenarios for
fourth
players.
Fourth year, Benny.
Yeah, it's his fourth year. Look, he's a gun. I reckon a Dusty Martin sort of player. He's bold, he's strong, he kicks it well, he kicks goals, he can mark it, he's tough. He's got everything, absolutely everything. He's heading down the track of a Dusty Martin, in my opinion, my humble. And if the Geelong Footy Club could somehow get him, it would be enormous. But whether or not, I don't know, they'd have to trade to get him. Yeah. Whereas they get Toby Green for nothing. So, you know, I've got an inkling that Geelong, Toby Green's going to end up playing for the Cats. Yep. So they've offered him $2 million for 3 years. The Cats, I reckon for him to be wanting to leave GWS, he'd probably be happy to take less.
1.5, 1.8.
Yeah, I reckon, I'm only guessing, I don't know any of this, but my thought was if he's desperate to go somewhere for the last 2 or 3 years of his career.
Try and win a flag.
He's not going there demanding, I want to get paid absolutely top dollar.
No.
He's sacrificing something to get something.
Correct.
So he's good mates with Jeremy Cameron. His family are from Melbourne. I mean, I don't think that matters if he's in Geelong. I get the sense that the Cats feel that the other thing that would happen, I reckon that Dangerfield may have signalled that this is his last year. I don't think he could get Green and have Dangerfield.
No.
I wouldn't have thought.
No.
So the money they're paying...
I can't see Patrick Dangerfield playing as a 37-year-old.
The money they're paying Dangerfield will go to Green.
Yep.
And he'd probably be on a 2-year deal worth
1.6. Yep. Trigger for a third year.
Yeah. 1.6. He foregoes 400 grand.
Yep.
For the chance to play in a successful team, because I don't think the way GWS are trending, they're I don't know what they're doing.
I think that era's done.
It seems that way.
What we thought would jag them a flag isn't going to jag them a flag.
No.
The Cali.
It's hard to believe, too. It was only a couple of years ago, was it 2 years ago? That when they led Sydney by about 8 goals.
In a qualifying.
And they led Brisbane by about 8 or 9 goals and lost both games.
Yep.
That's in a final.
Yes, correct. Yep. I love Ben's sense of humour, by the way, says Howler 41.
Good.
Not all of us do. Jumping Jack, the podcast needs to post a pic of a certain commentator with tail firmly planted between his legs over Mullen.
I've explained all this. I don't agree. I'm happy about Mullen playing well. I think people think that every time he gets a kick, I'm under the desk. I'm actually, it's a great story. You can keep going down that line, but I'm actually really happy for him and the club that this has happened. The way, I've been critical of him, as I said. Anyway, I don't need to talk anymore, I'm actually happy for him.
Yep. Can we start a GoFundMe to help upgrade the K-Rock mobile commentary vehicle, the thing we used to call local footy? It was spotted at a local game on the weekend, and its condition has a very Peter Street look to it. We only do the signage on it. We don't own the van. The van's actually owned by AFL Barwin.
Right.
So we pay to get the van.
Didn't Dickie Knee always used to have to get in the van?
And a couple of observations after the Lions game. Great win, but I've noticed that across the last handful of times we've played each other, the Lions have the edge in dry conditions. The Cats' wins have come from wet/slippery conditions. The most recent examples, last year's MCG grand final, in slippery conditions resulted in a Geelong win. Lions in dry conditions in the grand final, easy win. Cats in the wet Thursday night. Also, a few years back when we won the grand final 22, good win in the MCG final versus the Lions in the wet. I don't remember the prelim in 22 being wet.
Okay, you've got a better memory than me. I remember covering what happened 3 days.
Night game, though, Dewey, etc.
I don't know. I don't know whether you read, whether you sort of end up looking for things and you stumble on something and it just happens to be a coincidence. I'd be saying, without having analyse it to that level, that's perhaps just a coincidence, but I mean, maybe there might be something to it.
Daz Broncos, lads, great winning call. I missed it as I was at work in Lost Wages, Vegas, for those who don't know. How good is a fit Tom Stewart? Totally control the back line, set the tone, in my opinion, for the match.
Yes, he did.
Question is how to control Grundy. Well, we actually discussed it earlier, Daz, as you would have picked up. Go Stanley again with blitz halves and chop outs from Neil in forward 50, or let Edwards try his hand. That will be something Geelong are weighing up.
Do you also, have you heard, is Stewart okay?
Haven't heard he's not.
Well, didn't he get injured at the end of the
game? Well, he clipped himself in the hamstring.
Yeah.
No, I think he's fine. He trained on Monday.
He did
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Because it didn't look like there was something there.
Yeah, no, I think he gave himself a bit of a corky.
That's what he said. He said he kicked himself. But yeah. That's almost impossible to do.
You flick, as in you flick your leg up potentially and just whack yourself.
Maybe.
I just think as good as Edwards has been, he's not ready yet, and that's not a criticism. It's just his development isn't there. What say you?
Well, it depends what you're classifying as ready. I mean, he's certainly not ready. No, he's developing. Does he have some traits that, I mean, you could argue that they're going to do the same thing with, that they did with Mullen, with Edwards, albeit Edwards is only 20 or 21 now, is he?
Yep.
Yeah. Ruckman probably just need to play. You need to get game time. And
against good opponents.
Yeah, and it's different when you're playing a Mullen role because there's four or five other players who could probably play that role. Geelong don't have seven other players who can play in the ruck. Conway's, Loch Ness is somewhere in a lock in Scotland. No one's ever seen him. Is he actually training?
He's been. It's been sighted.
Has he been and seen anything other than sneakers or not?
No, I've only seen him in running.
Has he had footy boots on any time this
haven't
year?
Seen
do you reckon he's wore footy boots at all this year?
Oh, I haven't seen him in boots, but that's not to say.
I'm going
to
ask Andrew Mackey on Saturday. Has Loch Ness Conway worn footy boots at all this year? Could he be the only player in the history of the game to get through an entire season actually not wear a footy boot?
What's more likely, swapping Toby Green for Jack Martin out or Stengel out in 2027? Well, it might just be Green for Dangerfield.
Yeah, well, look, like I said, I think the next couple of months are critical for Tyson Stengel, and look, let's hope he gets back. It's been a difficult road. I don't think he's playing anytime soon is what I've heard. And I think the Cats are looking, they're exploring their options with Tyson Stengel. So it'll be up to him, I think, at some point. You've got to show up. It could be a Jamari Ugalagel situation.
The Cattery 2007. Is this Cats forward line one of our most consistently potent we've had in years? We've had the big forwards, Hawkins, Mooney, Billy, Stone, and of course God, but the lesser lights weren't nearly as consistent. Compare that to this team. I can't think of an array of quality, genuine forwards in one team that regularly hit the scoreboard. Jez, Neil, O'Henry, Martin, Dangerfield, high half forwards, Manor, Dempsey, Bowes, Close, and hopefully Stengel. Oh, those Cats, the 07 forward line with what they had loitering in there was pretty handy.
Chapman.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Hawkins.
Nathan Ablett. Well, no, 07 wasn't really Hawkins.
No. Oh, sorry. You're talking about that
but
era.
But that era, though, yeah. But like the 07.
Nathan Ablett. Yeah. Mooney.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Like, you just wonder what Nathan Ablett could have been.
Look, and people might be able to poo-hoo him. He might be a topic for conversation. I'd love to get people's thoughts. My thought on, and I've said this before, probably on this Kerr's High Counter-Attack podcast, the side from 07 to 011 would beat the current side by 10 goals, I reckon, in a canter. In an absolute canter.
And they're all 10, they're all 15 years older. It's incredible.
Yes. I think there was 15 All-Australians in that team.
Yeah.
That team was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. Yep. Joel Corey, James Kelly, Jimmy Bartel, Gary Ablett, Matthew Scarlett, Harry Taylor, Tom Hawkins. Did we mention Johnson, Chapman? I mean, the third stringers in that team were like Stokes and Shannon Burns. Yeah, Cameron Ling. It was the best team Geelong have ever put out in the history of their club, and I go to my grave saying that barring something ridiculous happening, that side would towel this team.
So the 07 forward line, half crosser, half forward line, was Steve Johnson, Cam Moody, this is as selected, and Joel Selwood. And the full forward line was Chapman, Nathan Ablett, and Stokes. And then you had Burns off the bench.
Go. What was the forward line in
011? I'll go to the 20. Well, Podsy Adley was in
09.
Yeah.
Let's go 09.
Hang on, let me just...
08, 09 was when they were... I mean, how they lost 08? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, mate. It was unbelievable.
Let's have a look here. 2009 forward line was Bartel, Mooney, Varco, Johnson, Hawkins, Chapman.
Yeah,
and then Burns and Rook off the bench.
Yeah. So, yeah, we forget pretty quickly, but that team was electric. And I reckon how many of those players in that, say, 09, do you reckon were All-Australians?
Was Milburn an All-Australian?
Yeah, I reckon.
Scarlett was.
He was a gun.
Enright was. Mackey was. Taylor was. Yeah. Harley wasn't, I don't think.
Maybe not.
Joel Corey
good
was.
Good player, though.
Ling. Did Ling ever get an All-Australian?
Yeah, I reckon he was.
James Kelly?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Mooney?
No, don't know about
Mooney. Varco, no. Steve Johnson, yes. Hawkins, yes. Chapman, yes. Ablett, yes. Yes. Selwood, yes. Mark Blake, no.
No.
Brad Otten, yes. Shannon Burns, no. Max Rook, no. Wojo, no.
So Max Rook, Wojo, they were like their third-tier players.
Yeah. Yeah, look. Wojo was a third-tier player who played 200 games.
No, and look, you're not going to convince me that that team, this current team, would get near that side.
Yeah. And then the 2011 forward line, just this is as selected. The team was sort of, you know, went in the paper.
Is this the one that went on the butcher shop window?
Yeah.
On a Thursday night?
Yeah.
Do you think they should go back to doing that? Yeah. And just as like to help out the local businesses. That could be an option, Kingy. You have to find which butcher shop the Cats team for this week is going to be on.
Steve Johnson, Hawkins, Varco, West, Podsy, Adley, Chapman.
West, yeah.
Trent West.
Yep.
Forget that Trent West was a premiership player.
Yep.
And then off the bench, Matty Stokes. And Bundy Christensen as well.
Yep.
Mitch Duncan was the sub.
Was he? Oh, hunky-dunky.
Remember who the sub for Collingwood? Alex Fasolo.
Yes.
His name we haven't heard for a while.
Haven't heard the Fasolo. Yeah. Used to have a few Fasolos.
For the Fasolo, man.
Yeah.
Zuda, Kingy, I've downloaded the K-Rock app, and when I choose K-Rock.live to listen to the game, it opens in my web browser, Google Chrome. It plays fine, however, as soon as the phone screen is locked, the player stops. My phone, Samsung, maybe others have a solution, really keen to listen while at the game. Not aware of that issue, Zuda, but if others can answer that, that would be great. We'll talk to our techs. And finally, Catazo7, gents, thought going into last week's game, if the Cats went 1-1 over Brisbane and Sydney, I'd be happy, but generally confident this week the Cats will go well on Saturday. I will say on last week's game that I think injuries and conditions played in the Cats' favour. Something I'll ask Benny, you stated either last week or the week prior that Geelong don't have left footers in the midfield or the wings. Do you think at times that is why Jeremy Cameron is given the licence to go up the ground?
I'd love to say yes. I don't think so. I think Jeremy Cameron just decides to go up the ground himself at certain times to maybe get into the play if he's been quiet, maybe offer something late in a quarter in terms of another body down back to shore things up. I don't think it's anything to do with the left footer. And like I said, I'd love for the Cats to find a left footer to play through the midfield or off the wing. I mean, it would just create another dynamic. And I know clubs, you know, you look at, we've spoken about them, you know, in Adelaide with, you know, a Jordan Dawson, they got Worrell. Hawthorn have got plenty of left footers. We've spoken about those players. I just think it gives you something different. But you wouldn't then want to be just drafting someone because they're left footed. I mean, the person would have to be the player you want to be drafting or selecting, and it just gives you another something a bit unpredictable swinging on the other side.
Right now, obviously, he's only 8 games or 9 games into his career. But like, say, if Josh Lindsay had a fall under the Cats from the Falcons as a left footer coming off half back, would have been very nice.
Absolutely.
Lastly, an apology.
And they look good, don't they, Kingy?
They do.
They look better.
For the length of the post, but with rumours of potentially Toby Green being linked to a move to Geelong, I'd think for him to beat Geelong, but wouldn't know how it fits into a forward line. Well, he mentions Danger. I think it would have to take Danger going, I'm done for Toby.
Take Danger for his spot and for his money.
Yep, correct.
That would be my take.
I think that's it, Benny.
Well, Kingy, I've made the prediction Cats win on Saturday night, and I'm really looking forward to the game. There's so many elements to what the Cats do with their taggers. How does their game style stack up? Do they keep handballing? They've got a big opponent on a big stage at home to go 8-3. It doesn't get any better, and really looking forward. And they've got what we think is a pretty injury-free list. They've got the hard decisions who to leave out.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.